Gracious God, we have heard your word read. Teach us from your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I was going to attempt to go into the pulpit, and Andrea very kindly said she'd help me up there and up down, but having already destroyed some of the furniture, I think perhaps I'd better stay here. Now, do you remember this? Angela gave it to me. And do you remember why she gave it to me? It's because I ask questions. So don't expect any answers. Expect plenty of questions. Here goes. What does the word... Let me put that down or I'll knock something else over. What does the word call mean to you? Is it a bit like snakes and ladders? You know, there's the right call, you know, up the ladder of good fortune you go, and then there's the wrong call, and you make a poor decision, and whoops, back to square one. I've made plenty of those. What about call waiting? You are number 9 in the queue. Waiting time is 45 minutes. How frustrating can that be? Worse still is missed call. You're out. A dear friend whom you haven't seen for absolutely ages calls round. Bother. So right call, wrong call, call waiting, missed call. How about a call to arms? To follow a cause, to give up a safe and comfortable way of life, and to risk everything to follow a leader. Which brings us to today's gospel, in which Jesus calls the first disciples. But before I consider that, I want to go back a few years to the time before Jesus and John were born. You will remember that Mary and Elizabeth were both expectant mothers. They were cousins and they were friends. Mary actually stayed with Elizabeth for the 3 months before her son John was born. And they had something else in common. Both women had been told by God that their sons had a special destiny, and they didn't know what that would be quite. Now, these boys were close in age, and their mothers were friends, as well as cousins. So as children, do you think they played football together? Perhaps they went swimming together? Perhaps they whittled sticks to make whistles? Who knows? And then as teenagers, did they argue and discuss earnestly the nature of evil, the meaning of life, God's purpose for Judea and for the Jewish people? Now, there's clearly mutual respect between these young men. And was John somewhat in awe of his cousin, in whom he recognized a godly man? He says as much. He says, there's one coming after me, and I'm not fit to carry his sandals. But once they grew up, their paths diverged a little. As Dave was telling us a couple of weeks ago, John lived an austere life in the desert, and he preached hellfire sermons. You won't get that from me, I don't think. So John was preaching hellfire sermons and he was calling people to repentance. Repent or else face the coming wrath of God. Now, it's important to note that at this point, it is John and not Jesus who is well known. He's a public figure. And as a sign of repentance, John would invite his audience to be washed in the River Jordan. And that's why he got called John the Baptist. So one day he's preaching and baptizing at the Jordan, and who does he see but his cousin Jesus in the queue? Well, he was horrified. I need baptism from you, and you've come to me? But Jesus insists, and as he comes out of the water, there is an astonishing sight. The Spirit descends on him like a dove. The voice of God from heaven is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son." What do the onlookers make of this? And Jesus too. What does God want of him? So he retreats to the desert to find out, to fast, to pray, to consider his options. He needs to make the right call and to reject the wrong one. Now, as we heard last week from Andrea, John the Baptist has a group of disciples, a group of followers, including the fisherman Andrew, brother of Simon Peter. And as we also learned last week, John points Jesus out to these men, and he says, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." So John's two disciples subsequently spend the rest of that day with Jesus, and they begin to get to know one another. Now, today's gospel, verse 12, Jesus heard that John had been arrested. This must have been a crushing blow. Jesus' brave cousin in the clutches of the tyrant Herod. So Jesus withdraws to Galilee, but not to hide. In fact, we're told that he makes his home in Capernaum, and it fulfills the prophecy that we heard in our first reading. As I say, Jesus is not going there to hide. It is time for Jesus to pick up and continue and expand where John had left off, and to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." It is also time to take on John's erstwhile disciples, whom, as we know, he has already met. So reading verse 18 onwards, "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for men.'" For people, sorry. Pretty correct. "Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And as he went on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him." This is a wake-up call for Andrew, Peter, James, and John. It is a call to lead a new life, to abandon the security of their fishing business for a precarious future, one which will be challenging and rewarding. So what about us? Is there a wake-up call for us at the start of 2023? To what is God calling you and me? Maybe to give something up or start something fresh? maybe to patch up an old quarrel, perhaps to question once cherished opinions. Like the disciples, we are to keep on the move in our thoughts, in our prayers, and in our actions. Right call, wrong call, call waiting, missed call to arms. How, wake up call, how do these calls relate to our ongoing conversation with God? Finally, don't groan. You knew this was coming. Curtain call. That's the call we all dread. We dread, and yet we yearn for it too. It may be swift and sudden. It may be protracted and painful. But it is coming. Thank God. For the faithful, it is not the end. Put your hand in mine, says Jesus to his disciples and to us. He speaks urgently and powerfully. Come to me, follow me, and you will have life in all its fullness. So let's pray. Gracious God, help us to be attentive to your promptings and courageous in following your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.